And so they had, Paul had said, look, man, I know some folk down in Corinth. Man, them folks just love to give. He said, I know some giving folk down in Corinth, and they are ready at the drop of a hat to give an offering.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of the five P's of giving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the five P's of giving.
We started out by dealing with the whole issue of giving as a sacrifice to the Lord. That as you give, that God does not know coming and worshiping and offering worship unto him, that was oftentimes associated with some type of giving. So we see that when you offer your praise and worship, as we did here, that the people of Israel, when they offered their praise and worship, that they gave something along with that. Then we saw how that we should give to meet God's vision. That if we really get a vision of what God is trying to do, if we really see what God is trying to do, that we would give because we know that this is what God wants. And we did a whole message on that. And then last week we looked at the people in the Old Testament and saw how they gave. We saw that Abraham gave a tenth of all after he came back from a battle. We see that Jacob committed to give a tenth of all that he had from the Lord. And then as we studied the giving of Israel, we see that they actually gave, if you average it out, 23% every year. 23% every year. And that's not even to talk about, you know, that was, as we looked at last week, that was just required giving. That was what they were required to do. And then there was a whole nother area entitled free will giving. And, you know, we concluded with that we have much more than they had. You know, we've got the completed Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the church. We've got prayer. We've got the full revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got much more than they had. And the title of that message that we talked about, you know, shouldn't we give much more because we have more. And so that's where we've been. And today we're going to conclude the message as we look at, in particular, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at that. But our theme verse has been Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. And the title scripture that we've used is giving that is an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. And listen to this. Well-pleasing to God. And that's the focus. You know, the heart of the matter is this morning is that God is not so much concerned with how much you give. He's concerned where your heart is at. You know, there was a story about a guy who was in church on Sunday, and he felt around in his pocket because he was trying to find a penny. And he felt and pulled out what he thought was a penny and put it in the offering. And actually what he threw in the offering was a $10 gold piece. And he got home and found out that he had thrown in this $10 gold piece. And he told his wife, he said, oh, wow. He said, I only meant to put a penny in. He said, well, I can't help it now. God will give me credit for the $10. And his wife said, you big miser. God is only going to give you credit for a penny. Because that's all you had in your heart when you put it in. And so you see, God is not so much concerned about what you give. He's concerned about your heart. And this morning, we want to look at the issue of the heart. That it's not about, because we see in God's economy, he works this thing out. And all things are even. All things are spread, even in his economy. But the heart is the issue that we want to look at today. The heart. If you have your outline this morning and you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that's where we will be at today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me just read the opening paragraph of the notes that I've given you, because this helps us to get a flow for the chapter. And once we get the flow for the chapter, then we'll break down a couple verses in the chapter. All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, St. Paul intimates that so ready were the Corinthians to make a charitable contribution that it was scarcely necessary for him to write. He says that in verses 1 and 2. He says in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, for I know your readiness." So what he's saying here is that I know that you are ready to give. He said, I know that you are a people that's ready to give. And so I really didn't need to write this letter to get you fired up about giving. But lest they wouldn't be ready when he came, he sent his brother, Titus, and some others beforehand, lest if the Macedonians should come with him, they should not find them prepared, because Paul said he had boasted about their readiness to give. And so Paul had said, look, man, I know some folk down in Corinth. Man, them folks just love to give. He said, I know some giving folk down there in Corinth, and they are ready at the drop of a hat to give an offering. He said, now, I done bragged on these folk, and I know that they want to give, but the chances are that if I don't let somebody know that we're coming, then they won't be ready to give. And so Paul said, that's why I'm writing. He goes on, and he gives them directions as to how they should contribute and the advantage to be gained by it in the fulfillment of the promises of God. And that's in verses 6 through 11. And then he shows them that by this means, the poor shall be relieved, God will be glorified, their Christian temper manifested, and the prayers of many engaged in their behalf. And that's verses 12 through 14. And then he concludes in verse 15 with giving a thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So I just wanted to get that background. See, because as you know, one thing that I'm a big stickler with, and that is context. I just hear too many people taking verses out of the Bible, making them say what they want them to say. All right, so I wanted to get you the context now. You know, Paul has bragged on the Corinthians about their giving and they're willing to give. And so he's going to send some people from Macedonia down to receive an offering from them. But Paul wanted to make sure that they were ready, so he sent a couple brothers ahead just to let them know that they were coming. And then he tells them how they should give. He gives some instructions. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's get into the message today. And the first thing that I want to say as we look at giving, and that is giving is to be profuse. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, giving should be with liberality. Giving should be opening up your heart and just giving to the Lord. Look what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. He said, "But this I say unto you, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, Paul was dealing with people who were accustomed to sowing and planting and reaping. So the idea, it was not foreign to them, because they would catch on to that right away, that he was talking about a concept, that he was talking about a principle that they could say, I can identify with that real quick. The fact that if I sow a lot of seed, I go out here and I sow a lot of seed, then you know what? Come harvest time, I can look forward to reaping a great harvest. But if I go out here and I just sow a little bit of seed, then you know what? The chances are when the harvest comes that it's not going to be as great. And so this is a simple principle. And we need to learn that God, you know, it's just like, let me show you a good illustration. And we all have it in us. We all have it in us. Look at Christmas time. Man, folk will give. I mean, you will go and you will shop for Christmas gifts for so-and-so and so-and-so. And, you know, sometimes now, some people maybe are a little more frugal than others, but for a lot of people during Christmas time, and I think the statistics show it, that money is not an object. It's not an object. And we go and we'll just be liberal, have a liberal heart, and we'll just give and we'll buy and we'll give and have no problem with that. Not complain, not fuss, not moan, and not groan. Why? Because listen to this now. We done got caught up in the Christmas spirit. Now, wouldn't it be something? Oh, watch yourself now, preacher. Watch yourself. Wouldn't it be something if we had that spirit of liberality all year long? You know, Christmas is, it's just not for Christmas. You know, even though we want to recognize the birthday of Christ by giving somebody else a gift, y'all didn't get that. even though we want to do that, and we have this big heart during that time, what happens to our heart the rest of the year? Have we just closed off the rest of the year to say, look, I'm only opening up for 2 weeks during December, and then it's closed back down again? Or is our heart one of liberality? Is it one of overflowing? Because, see, God is looking for someone who would give profusely. There was an individual who was a successful businessman, and there was a charity that came and asked him, would he donate to their cause? And the businessman listened to their case as they presented it, and he said, I can understand why you approach me. He said, because I do have a lot of money. But let me tell you some things that's going on with me. He said, first of all, did you know that my mother requires 24-hour nursing care? And the people from the charity said, we didn't know that. He said, did you know that my sister is struggling to raise a family of 8 on her own? They said, no, we didn't know that. He said, did you know that I have one son in a drug rehab clinic, and I have another one doing volunteer work overseas? And they said, oh, no, we didn't know that. He said, well, if I don't give them a penny, why do you think I'm going to give you something? Some folks are just stingy. But I think that, you know, the message that God is trying to get through to us is that we should have, as a Christian, a liberal heart. You know, there's a whole lot of things as a Christian that you don't want to be identified as a liberal about. You know, you don't want to be identified as liberal in your theology. You know, you don't be identified as a liberal as to who Jesus Christ is. Because, see, liberals, man, you know, they're on the wrong side. But there's one thing that a Christian should be liberal in, and that is their giving. Liberal and their giving. And you know, man, we are just a stingy people. Yeah, I was reading, and I don't know if I don't think I brought it. I wish I'd have brought that. I meant to bring it this week, and I forgot to bring it. Statistics on giving, the habits of giving in the black community. Man, we are, you know, they said that African Americans make up 13% of America's population, and yet still we drink 30% of the liquor. We are giving people. We give. Lincoln has contracted P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, to advertise one of their Lincolns with the TVs in it and all these other things. Why? Because they're finding out that the number one group in America that purchased Lincolns are African Americans. Now, what am I saying? We got the money. And Wall Street knows that we got the money. And they're getting it. Somebody's getting the money. But we're not being liberal in the areas where it counts with God. I think that you should take care of your own needs, and if God blesses you to be able to, you know, live nice, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, some of God's greatest saints in the Bible live nice. Abraham lived nice. Job lived nice until he lost everything. You know, there was others. There was other of God's people that lived nice. So there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to look at our hearts in this whole matter And one thing that I've realized, and that is that there is more power in the open hand than there is in the closed fist. There's more power in the open hand. And like I said, God is not concerned about how much you give. God is concerned with your heart. He's concerned with your heart. And so the first thing that we want to say is that, you know, God wants you to give profusely. Does he want you to give? He don't want you to give everything away so that you don't have anything. No, I'm not saying that. But is your heart one of liberality? You know, I think that, you know, one of the reasons I really don't carry a lot of money with me a lot of times is because I'm a soft touch. Soft touch for people in the street. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm going to tell you a little something. Really, you know, people say, well, you know, you should try to find out if they can do some work, or you ought to do some examination and find out all this. You know what? Most of the time, you know, I've got somewhere to go and I got something to do. And a lot of times I don't have time to stand out there and find out what a guy's situation is and how he got there. And so it's easier for me sometimes just to go in my wallet, man, and say, here goes a couple dollars. But, you know, God is looking for that liberal heart, not the foolish heart. Not the foolish heart that would just say, well, I want to give, you know, because somebody has a need. And you know what I found out? I hate to say it, saints, and you might get touched up on the way from this church to the parking lot. You know, there's a whole lot of scam artists. There's a whole lot of scam artists. So I'm not saying that, you know, you have to open up your pocketbook to everybody that you see. But my point is our heart one with a willingness and a desire to be a blessing and give? He said that if you sow sparingly, that you will reap sparingly. Well, let me move on to my next point. Giving should be profusely. And secondly, we see that giving should be purposeful. It should be purposeful. Look at verse 9. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. The word purpose comes from the Greek word, which means to choose beforehand. So in other words, that you should think about beforehand, especially when it comes of this matter and issue of giving to God, that you should have thought about it beforehand. Look at the notes. I took a quote here from the Life Application Bible, and it says, each Corinthian believer was to make up his own mind as to how much would be given in this collection. It wasn't to be an impulsive decision, but a deliberate one. They were to assess their own ability to give and plan accordingly. Paul didn't want to use, urgent appeals. There's 70 people here tonight that got $10. Paul didn't want to use, he didn't want to use urgent appeals or pressure tactics to coerce the Christians to give. Even though he was the one appealing for the money, he was careful to give the Corinthians enough time to think and to pray about how much God wanted them to give. So much so that he had sent Titus and a couple others to say, well, look, you said that you were going to take up this offering for the Macedonians. Now let me send a couple brothers just to remind you that they're on the way so that you can have it ready when they get there. That there ought to be purpose in our giving. That there ought to be, as I've said before, when you really think about the fact that my worship, that when I come, and in the Old Testament, when they built the altar and the tabernacle and the temple, that when they came to worship God, they came with an offering, something to offer him. And they had to think about that along the way. They had to be prepared and they had to be equipped before they got there with what they were going to offer to God, that your giving should be purposeful. I heard somebody say that God made the sun, it gives. God made the moon, it gives. God made the stars, they give. God made air, it gives. God made the clouds, they give. God made the earth, it gives. God made the sea, it gives. God made the trees, they give. God made the flowers, they give. God made the fowls, they give. God made the beasts, they give. God made the plants, they give. God made man, he.
Mm.
Everything that God makes. Everything that God makes is designed to give. The pew that you're sitting on is because of something that God put here that gave for you to be able to sit down. The clothes that you got on your back is there because something that God put on the earth was made and gave so that you could wear it. Everything that God makes is designed to give. And there's a purpose. There's a purpose for the sun as it gives. There's a purpose for the moon as it gives. There's a purpose for the stars as they give. There's a purpose for air as it gives. There's a purpose for clouds as they give. There's a purpose for the trees as they give. There's a purpose for the animals as they give. There's a purpose for the plants as they give. And there's a purpose for man as he gives. Every man, as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Giving should be profusely, giving should be purposefully, and then giving should be proportionately. Now, the fact that Paul said that giving was to be purposefully, let me go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 as we look at this whole idea of giving being proportionately. He says in chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. As God has prospered him. How much do you give? Well, you give as God has prospered you. Now, I would imagine that as you go along each year, that you probably get a raise every year or a promotion every year. And I would say that, where did that raise come from? Oh, well, you know, God, I don't know how many prayer requests I've heard here at the church for a promotion. There's been a lot. Amen. And God has blessed a whole lot of folk, you know, and promoted a lot of people. Well, I've heard people pray, you know, I'm trying to get this job and it's going to be better hours and it's going to be, you know, a little bit more money, and I'm praying that God would bless me. So you pray and God blesses you. Now, you know, there ought to be proportionately, you get a little bit more than what you got before. Now, didn't you ask God to bless you? Didn't you ask God for the job? If I was to come back to you now, wouldn't you say that, man, God has been good to me? And you give all the praise to God, but proportionately, you're still the same. Now, I'm having a hard time with that, Reverend. Well, let me give you another. Look, turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 1.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the 5 P's of giving. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the 5 P's of giving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the 5 P's of giving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the 5 P's of giving. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 25034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.